for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective. Today, again, we get to chit-chat about our lovely Oversoul, and surprise, surprise, because of wanting to integrate for those of you who are 5D mystics. As I know, the 4D keeps talking to you about your Oversoul in a way that isn't going to actually support those of you who are looking to be your restorative embodiment. So that means you're emotionally aware, you're accountable, you want to learn to self-regulate, or you are on that journey. You are not a person who's like, I don't want to do personal development. I want to continue being like Cusco is. Okay, so you know empowerment is a person who can be their own emotional choice. Okay, so I'm just going to put it that way. You have a healed inner child or you're healing. Okay, attachment and trauma information lets me know how straightforward it is for me, because I have secure attachment and I have a differentiated whole 0-1-year-old, 3-year-old, and I never lost my connection to the restorative embodiment of me. So I've kept that humanity. Sadhguru's quote, if you overflow with humanity, divinity has to descend. As I like to share with me, I did grow up with Jesus and God. So I've always had a relationship with this sphere of consciousness. However, sciences and spirituality come together. Sciences with the updated attachment, trauma, everything that I have learned up to date allows me to let you know how you becoming your healed inner child gets you to become, for those of you who are mystics, grounded in your body. And so here's where clairs don't make you more special than anybody else. They're actively explained by neuroscientists, and I have not watched a video of a person that is within that sphere yet, but I'm not urgently trying to, because I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm looking to build our 5D mystic community. So I know the 5D mystic one community, as well as the 5D collective, are people who are emotionally aware, accountable, and they're part of the human herd. Okay. If, on the other hand, a person thinks of mystic as only loving nature, they're going to go be with the 4D. They're spiritual bypassers already. Okay. So that's where spirituality bypassers, they're going to be straightforward to me, because they're going to think that clairs make them special and anointed. Automatically, they're on Elsa's journey. And they don't have it figured out that they're the ones they've been looking for. They don't go and work with that 0-1-year-old attached panicky and the first 3 to 7 years of your shame, submissive, energetic, charged life. Okay, so as long as you are still the inner child without the grown-up, you're not your higher self. You're the 15, 16-year-old, 14, 15, 16 fight, which isn't your higher self. It's a person in their fight mode, which equals a safety behavior of, I have all these scars on my heart because my twin flame made me obsessively think about da da. So we're not going to talk about that, but basically that's just one random example of how people think of the obsessive thinking versus knowing that they are not having to obsessively think. So I'll begin with this. I have 3 twin flames. And I have soulmates, and I have access to every single one of a lot of things. I was not ever destabilized. It's because I have secure attachment, so I'm unflappable. I knew what downloads I was getting. I still do. I'm not confused. The only people who are confused are the same ones who don't have their secure attachment body in the forefront. And that's because they don't have their differentiated self, their 0-1-year-old attached panicky, or their 3-7 shame submissive with the grown-up in the house. So their brain is not working with a grown-up. You're not consciously your grown-up unless you say, oh, look, I have emotions. They're upsetting me. Let me go handle my 3-year-old and then come when I'm in a better mood. Number one, for just random example, okay? And emotions, they inform you. So yes, every mood you get, if you want to understand what oneness consciousness is, Christ consciousness, it's not about you projecting your teenager attitude. It's called the maladaptive child behavior from people who don't want to grow up. And it's not even a Peter Pan, I don't want to grow up, because those are movies, but it's kind of like a Peter Pan. Okay, however, we're going to get into that ego self. So you, with your ventral vagal system, nervous system on, with an ego self, is you being able to say, you know what? Right now, I'm really upset. Am I upset to the extent of me saying something that I would not want to speak from my mouth? Okay, so we learn how to pay attention. What is about to come out of my mouth? And actually, I'm going to go find one of our lovely Sadhguru quotes so that we can use that just to give us a little bit more, you know, power to the lovely love group of us. And what I mean by that is more push, quote unquote, motivation. That's what I'm trying to say. Motivation. Okay. Every word you utter, every action you take, your very existence, is it for everyone's well-being or is it just about you? Just fix this one thing to determine the nature of your life. Okay. So let's get rid of the rest, meaning nature of your life. We're talking you as the person, but the nature of your life does mean your everyday. Are you going to wake up more equanimous? If you're a restorative embodiment of yourself, yes, because you will have complete body and mind harmony. and the attachment and trauma information people that do good therapy, child parts work, EMDR, and somatics will know how to explain this to you too. The mystics think that you need to get your past life regressions or get some Akashic record reading or anyways work with our lovely aura. You don't. And here's why. As Patrick Tihan points out, you doing any of this works with your energy body and it can clear it. It does not take care to inform you unless they're attachment and trauma informed like I am. And that's why, to me, the first step is the human stuff, then spiritual and spirituality. So the first step is everything that you will hear when they use the word karma, it's unconscious behavior, which means your child parts, which means that you either have yourself and you know about my mood and my implicit bias, I'm going to put it aside and I'm going to breathe and I'm going to center myself. I'm going to use the three pillars of mindfulness, attention, awareness, and kind intention in my brain. And I will actively, until I'm ready to be centered, I will not actively do shit because I'm affected by my implicit bias, my personality. It's as straightforward as it gets. It feels like I'm lecturing people, so I'm going to get off my high horse because I don't want to lecture. I just want food for thought, but it feels like common sense in my brain because as a kid, I learned what it meant to be decent and common decency and courtesy. It was treat others the way you want to be treated. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I learned how to follow that. That's your value body. It's your heart body. And that's where any person I've ever shared that with, no, Maria, you just have pink tainted glasses. Okay, fine. Sure. I think that I'm just saying I want to be a person who treats others the way I want to be treated. I'm going to say it's not pink tainted glasses. I'm going to say that I'm actually consistently consistent with being a human being. And there you go. So functional adults, we don't do Elsa's journey. We're like, yep, I'm a 3-year-old. I don't need the floor. I don't need to take it personally. I don't need you to stay here. I don't need your thumbs up. That's because my 0-1-year-old doesn't need you all. I learned how to be my own safe haven and secure base. Thanks, Mom. Okay, so the 5D person isn't going to be whining about their soulmates or twin flames if they don't want to be your life partner. No, no. If I tell you I see you as my life partner, and you agree, I think we're life partners. Once I begin to notice that I'm not really sure we're safe haven, secure-based life partners, okay, because that first time you get the twin flame one, that was amazing. It still is amazing, but, you know, T1 was where we walked and walked and walked, and at a certain point, I'm like, wait a minute, we're walking. I think we're walking, though, in two different directions. Let me ask. Hey, are we walking in the same direction or not? Because I'm wondering, and I got my answers. And the direction was, no, it's the same, but it's in different ways. I loved it. I loved his answer. Oh, I love that man. So yeah, I was able to address our lovely beginning of polyamory status and solo because, you know, we're not doing anything couple-centric, and it was beautiful. So he's always loved me just the way I am, and I've always loved him just the way he is, and we still love each other just the way we are. But what I'm getting at is at a certain point there was, okay, so what are we doing? Because I'm pretty sure I thought we were going to head in a bit of a different direction, and he explained where we were headed. And so I was like, okay, I got it. In fact, I appreciated his answer very much, and that's because he's always been honest. So when you're honest and you're yourself, that's great. As time moves on, he's still honest in himself, but we have different time zones and different times and hours that we're able to be around each other and whatnot. And so that's, you know, 24 hours is what you got. When you're moved into that polyamory status, you have not all the time in the world. And when you have work, okay, so there's, for example, no saga there. All of the choice points, pretty straightforward. In fact, I shared with you all when I remember feeling it was a very specific click, and it's because my lovely T1 found what he was looking for, and I was so happy. If it was following the exchange or around the exchange, and I remember because it gave me a happy feeling because I knew that he got what he wanted, and he has what he wanted, and that's why it's not karma, even though it might be karma in the way of if he's living what he wants to live, or is he living what he was raised? Because people will sometimes lead with what they were told to become as they grow up. Okay, so karma, unconscious behavior, equals your child parts. If you're doing dharma, then you're consciously choosing every second of the way how you're going to reflect upon yourself and your next steps, and that involves thoughts and emotions, okay? So you don't exclude people from your oversoul, and there's no saga. The other part about twin flames, for those of you who are mystics, yes, we have clairs, definitely, and it is not confusing. I'm going to say this. For an empowered woman, which is what I am, as a 5D mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age Group, and I wasn't always in the Enlightenment Soul Age Group. I remember when I got here, and I'm going to connect enlightenment the human way, your restorative embodiment, completely active, all of it. So you've completely and consistently done integration of the brain activity, prefrontal cortex. You've done the awareness without even knowing it, attention, kind, into all this stuff. You've done all of it. So your brain is completely integrated. That means your left and right mode, all hands on deck, and your default mode network is down regulated. And so you're always in your green when you're with people, which is where I'm at. And that's the quote-unquote angry Buddhist when you learn from somatic therapists what it is to be in your restorative embodiment. So I'm in this, and then I'm a channeler, and you all know that. Okay, so my clairs never confused me. My twin flames did not confuse me. I knew about my twin flame two coming around. I had had already two, if not three, dreams about them. And they were calling out to me. And they were calling out in a way that they needed help. And they needed help, but somebody was keeping me away from them. And lo and behold, that story is very interesting. I won't share all of it. But I knew it was at least one day prior I had had again a dream about them, if not two. And then I got the awareness that they were gonna be making themselves known, and so they did. And the first dreams, I already knew what he was helping me to work through because of what was taking place already with my lovely T1 and T3 pops on in. I forget, oh yes, it was at a certain point. And this one got me because of other aspects which we won't dive into because it's unimportant. What is important to share is that in this case, what I got to continue understanding with my clairs is that they completely have you tapping into shit that you have nothing to do with. And that is not confusing, but for a person who is in love, okay? And so in this case, you have the ability to be a direct communicator. You express what you feel for someone, okay? And so you don't hide any of it. And then you're able to also consciously become aware if it's completely not being heard. So T2, I had to completely say disengage because they were not listening and hearing me out. So they were not going to take the path of let's allow ourselves to be a part of each other's lives in a way that all can be happy with. No. In this situation, I knew the risks that I was taking. I accepted the risks because I don't care about my quote-unquote reputation, so I technically am not seen in the best of light, which is understandable, and that's the part. I have no shame, though. I know that I was being given the opportunity, and I took it to try and support somebody to get their inner child saved. They didn't, and they ended up armoring themselves in, which is a term I learned from my attachment trauma information people, and it makes me very sad because it's a beautiful human being. They have a beautiful inner child, and they're still having fun. The part about what is great when you notice that a shame cycle person who's armored in is a human suffering love narrative individual, so they're like the movies. And I lived before attachment and trauma information was all out there, so I know how people can stay and basically hell in their body. I don't like to know about that being hell, but they don't notice it, which is why they will armor themselves in and shut, meaning that the person, if they go to good therapy for a while, because at that point they need someone that's going to support them in a way that will be completely not, we don't have to talk about that, but they would have to want to go. So Long story short, because a person can conduct their life with the shame cycle, I've seen more than just that person armor themselves shut, continue. They just, you know, live like the movies. So they won't have this happen. Bill O. Hanlon, LMFT. It's not enough to ask people about a positive experience. It's about savoring that experience and getting them to stay with it. They will not have savoring their restorative embodiment. They will not have savoring their heart. Armored in means that you did not process any of your 0-1-year-old to 3-7 shame submissive attachment wounds and ruptures. So you actively have a human being who has actively brought their neuroplasticity to not lead them to their integration. And in fact, what you find out from studies is that people, this is one recent that I heard from Daniel Siegel, people with childhood developmental trauma and wounds that are traumatic in a way that affects their mind and their brain, they will tend to, I think what he said was, die younger. And it's because of things he explained. I don't remember all of the data points. I can go rewatch it and take notes, but I don't want to. I don't need to. If you are curious, let me know, though. I'll go look it up and try and write notes down the best I can and then report. But I'm not looking for a community that is going to come to me with that. You can take your course or you can, you know, look up and see what studies you find. Obviously, I respect if you have a question, as I do understand. I'm woo-woo pseudoscience, but I have where I get this data. So if you have a question because you want to verify it, I'll go double check my notes and my courses and all that. But putting that to the side, what I was trying to get to is that people live less longer, so shorter lifespan. That's because what is impeded in the brain is your corpus callosum in its growth, your hippocampus, your prefrontal cortex, and your interconnected connectome to integrate your brain, which is what integration allows inner well-being. Because with integration, let me see if I can come and look at the notes. I had some notes I know I can read maybe, but with integration of the brain, what you'll find is that you get healthier, but it's really the mindfulness practice, the three pillars of mindfulness practice that have results for health. So I'm looking for my notes while I'm chit-chatting to you all. Just give me a couple of minutes. Here we go. So the three pillar mind training. So when you are able to be aware, focus your attention, become aware, and then have kind intention. These are the three pillars he's talking about. You reduce your stress hormones and the cortisols. You reduce your stress hormone and cortisol. You enhance your immune functioning. You improve your cardiovascular risk factors. You reduce inflammation via epigenetic changes. You optimize the telomerase or telomerase, which repairs and maintains the ends of our chromosomes, which is what slows down aging, and the integration of the structure and the function of the brain is what comes up with the mind training. So awareness, focusing attention, then becoming aware and bringing in kind intention. Okay, so these would be aspects where you are going to get your neuroplasticity and attention going. And when you use the dark sides of neuroplasticity, this was from one of my other courses, and this one's from NICBM, and it's actually an infographic that they have online as well, you will not lead yourself to more well-being. That's the whole point. Okay, so when somebody is armored and shut like T2, it is not something funny. It is not a devil or demon or any of that. It is a human being who didn't get good trauma therapy. They didn't think they needed it, and they consistently made certain choices. So still, here's where people would say that's free will. And, you know, again, we do have Michael Stone, his scale of evil, 1 to 22. And when we look at what people end up bringing to each other when they are low self-esteem, indirect communicators, passive-aggressive, they don't know about boundaries because they don't know how to be a grown-up. They know how to be their maladaptive child behavior. And they also don't know about, what's the fifth one? There's a fifth one, but they don't know boundaries and they don't know how to have grown-up conversations, and really they're a pattern. So we also find that childhood trauma individuals have that identity. Like Patrick Tiahan shares with us, he's a therapist, he's a childhood trauma survivor, healed and healing, and he has shared what those different, at least five of the childhood trauma personality types, the doer, which is like a workaholic, the one who's darkness, who's always thinking about gloomy things and negativity and stuff like that. We got the one who's, are we okay? They always want to make sure everything's okay. And so it's more like a people pleaser. The nice guy thing too, or nice gal as well, because nice guy or nice gal is going to be both suppressed emotional people who are codependent, blamers, victims, and then martyrs, superiors. Then we have the ghost, the one who doesn't exist kind of deal. And then we got the fifth one was the, oh, there's the one who gets angry, hostile. Okay, so those are five personality types of childhood trauma survivors. So every person that doesn't know how to be kind and compassionate, that's not an integrated brain, a restorative embodiment. So in the 5D capacity of Christ consciousness, oneness consciousness, which means I have thoughts, chit chatter on my left. I got feelings that come up. Oh, that's my right. Oh, I'm going to be emotionally aware, self-aware, and I won't project. Let me learn how to calibrate my nervous system so I don't whine about personal development. I don't want to do it. I learned that I'm an embodied brain. And as a human being, I can use my brain and I can use it to build grown-up emotional relationships, which is the quote-unquote angry Buddhist. So our oversoul, FYI, is beautiful because when you are choice points for each other, you get to choose how to conduct yourself. It's not about the perfection of anything. No, that doesn't happen, my lovely listeners. That's where you're a one-on-one and you're going to be a choice point. They're going to be a choice point. And here's where, as I was saying, they don't savor the experience. We do. So I savor every one of the experiences I've ever had. And with T2, what happened, once I met them 3 years after our first encounter, I could tell they were armored in. And I felt the armor. That's me as an intuitive, but really it's because I'm a somatic empath like you can be. And I got described armored in my attachment trauma courses and by Daniel Siegel a lot more, which is why I know what enmeshment feels like. I know when somebody's re-traumatizing themselves and actually digging shit in my own, like this was a very uncomfortable thing that happened as I was having a panic attack. Somebody literally digging in a way of like accentuating, and I could feel it. And I was like, this is just so weird. What's going on? And Daniel Siegel's helped me understand that we will feel these things when people are trying to make us fit in their puzzle. So their brains work in a certain way with their adaptive child. Let me just be clear. Okay, so I can explain to you that whole stuff about what's happening. There's no energy vampires. There's no dark auras. There's no demon possessed human being. It's a person. And if they are not able to be kind and compassionate, they have yet to go and start their childhood therapy or whatever it is that happens. So they're not a securely attached human being who has their inner child in the forefront. No, they're on Elsa's journey, one of them, and they haven't gotten to the end. Whether they're Cusco squirrels, Yzma, Kronk, Peter Pan's, Wendy's, it doesn't even matter. They're not going to be a Pacha, which is what the 5D collective is. Okay, so we leave it alone, and we know there's plenty of great therapists out there. So when you meet a person from your oversoul, they are a choice point and you are a choice point. So you're not going to run off and away because they have no physical weapon. And you're emotionally, mentally, and physically mature to be able and be a Pacha. Okay, and so number one, as I was saying, it's not confusing to actually have what is the telepathy with your twin flames. It's, wow, it's more like when you're living it, like I said, you'll be confused in thinking that it's about you because you have the connection. Once you realize it's not, you understand, and then you're like, wow, this is really fucked up. Oh, and it's also really fascinating all at once because I'm actually able to pick up almost every single piece of thing that is going on over here. This is really amazing. And that's when you know that it doesn't matter if people believe in mysticism or not. When you're experiencing it, you're like, this is the coolest fucking shit ever. So when I have Akashic downloads, when I have regression of my lifetime downloads, any of it, oh, it gets more and more fun. In fact, recently I got to have some more of that, and it was by chance because I got lucky. I got an Oversoul member who asked enough times about their lives, and I was like, okay, they're now starting to come. Huh, let me sit down and write, because that's what you're going to do when you start to get all of this information. And you know that it means the channels are open. So this was a very beautiful moment, and it always is. So I've had seen T1, T3, my lifetimes with them. T2, he's a young soul, so that's why I knew I wouldn't be seeing much there because of the age group of that soul, the entire clan. But I'm sure if I tried hard enough, but I don't like to spend time in my mind's eye because, you know, there's no need for me to be there. But whenever it comes up, and so like another human being who's of my Oversoul and actually more, when they've asked, then that's where, if I'm in those, they will come. That's what I have noticed. So now I'm at the number three of when people are randomly just, I want one. I want to know about my lives, all of them. And then I get the download. Out of the three people, the one of them was serious. She's part of our mystic community. Oh, but see, she is not a part of my, well, we're all one big Oversoul. We're the same energy. But her family, they are, there's a word for it, but I can't bring to say it right now. So I would have to describe it, and it's not part of our topic, but I've described it at least some of the time, so my regular listeners know about it. All I can say is it's amazing. It's fucking amazing. So she's in my future, which makes complete galactic, the galactic force. I think that's what I named. So it's like a galactic force. They're like a, they're the people, the, no, they're not people. They're the protectors of everything. So the other fun thing about being a 5D mystic in the enlightenment soul age group is knowing that we don't have to do anything. FYI, what I wanted to remind myself to share with you, it's not a channeled guidance, but this is a message for those of you who listen to the channeled guidance. As I told you, the solar eclipse would be important. And this is around the time when I got my download and the past life regressions, which are also Akashic downloads, but I've realized they're one and in the same. So really, when you do an Akashic record reading, you can get past life regressions. And so that's why it's through Akashic record readings, because that's where I am self-taught. And the past life regression is part of what you will access. So as well as healing inner child, but my inner child doesn't need healing. However, the information can be supportive, but that's only if a person takes it seriously. If they don't, then it's just, you know, a funny story, and you leave it alone at that. In fact, this is where I was trying to go, is that it's unimportant. If a person is choosing to expand their consciousness, to be their whole human self, they don't need anybody to tell them anything about their past lives. So the people who can make use of this, it's people who are proactive in their self-awareness and their self-reflection, and they want to become more of their humanity. The 4D and people who love to hear their story, they use it because they like to think of who they are. And that's not something good or bad. They are part of the group of teenagers that are on Elsa's journey. They don't get to the end, and they like to think of themselves as in the middle. And this is where, unfortunately, they don't know that, Sadhguru, your contribution to the world is you, how you live, how joyful you are. Everything has an impact. So they don't become their whole inner child, so they don't savor who they are from inside their body. Instead, we want to do that, the 5D collective. So we get to move into more and more of that emotional maturity and your restorative embodiment. With that being said, the Oversoul supports you to become your mental, emotional, and physical optimized human being version, number one. The number two is that you get to allow yourself to feel those positive experiences. And whatever other emotions that are not put in the positive box, you can, I don't put anything in a negative box because my body, like yours, is an intelligence. And when you use the word negative, the body will contract to protect you. So what I have learned to do is to use the word neutrality, equanimity, to allow also sometimes just for that emotion to be. So we have our six basic emotions, the ones that are sadness, fear, disgust, anger. I forget, let me go see, where's my notes? But anyways, you know them probably by heart, happiness and love. Long story short, the ones that would be put in the negative box, as long as you just allow them not to be suppressed, this is what's ideal. So negative as a word allows the body to think of it as something not positive. That's why you don't have to use positive either. In fact, actually, if you want to be equanimous, the best way is neutrality and duality. I'm an emotional being and I am a thoughtful being as well. And they both come together. And that's where you begin that inner growth mindset and you allow yourself to keep moving into the wholeness of you, and you help yourself to use your prefrontal cortex by doing that. Okay, so you do choose when you're interacting with me and I with you, if I'm going to maintain my value body and heart body, which is what we do, the potches of this world. So you're yourself, you're not a masked part of you, and you don't do any of the maladaptive child attachment wounds. So you're not a mask Cusco who's lying. Okay, so one, when I had my telepathy, and I still do, and at the biggest point of it, like I said, at first I thought it was about me. I learned it was not about me, and then I was like, wow, this is really fucked up. But then again, it's so cool. And so you have all of these different types of awareness as you go through what is going to be a lot of emotions, which is amazing for a person who loves emotions. I raise my hand. I love my emotions. And your energy body is expanding because you move from light body expansion, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 to rainbow body. After that, you got at least 1 or 2 more. That's from my personal subjective experience. And then you keep on expanding. So at this point, when we have big ascension moments, I am no longer as I thank goodness, my panic attacks are better, all of that stuff. So this is where it's been a long journey to get here. I'm very happy to share with you what I can about good attachment and trauma information people, because they can help you work with your window of tolerance. And to share, you don't need past life regression. You don't need an Akashic record. If you want to, using them effectively. So I offer Akashic record readings. I offer Reiki. I offer things for people who are serious about doing personal development. That's why it's only through mentorship. When my friends, loved ones, whoever it is, I don't ask, no, I don't want your money. Reiki, I have to, because it's kind of like a massage and they will want to do that thing. And that's where it's more of, you know, something that is standard now. But if you don't plan on doing growth with what I share with you, then I will treat it as entertainment. Like here too, we are educational, but it's also entertainment. It's food for thought. You hear me sharing those disclaimers all the time, but it's also because, I mean, for my 5D mystic community, you're not going to be 4D. So I don't come here thinking that I'm going to have children tuning into me. And when I say children, I'm not talking about children. I'm talking about the Elsa journey people who want a Peter Pan with a Wendy. I ain't Peter Pan. I ain't Wendy. My name's Maria and I'm a human. And you know, this is the part. You're not a special gift. I'm not a special gift. Meaning we are, but only to the people who consider us that. Other than that, we're just, any person is special. That's the part. Any person can be unspecial. And really, for me, we're all special. But the human suffering love narrative group would beg to differ. And it's not funny because, oh, they're like the, you know, those movies with the kid who's always playing pranks. You know how annoying that gets once people grow up? I mean, it was annoying for me when I was a kid already. When they grow up, it becomes bad taste, is what I'm going to say. And then to know that there are people that are actually really, really not well at all. Now, that makes me even more upset. And I mean sad. So I'm happy that we have police and laws and that we have government, because those people are at the end of Michael Stone's scale. And when you hear the way some of them talk about things, you understand why it's important for us to create more good trauma therapists that get people in prisons and whatnot, and more good police and more good all everything. So more humane people, not the ones who are trying to get rid of the very structure that can keep some things safe. And that's because we already don't have enough of those people in those roles, we also don't have enough emotionally mature, capable people, because if you're not emotionally mature, you're not capable to actually harness your embodied brain the way that you think you can. You might be great with a firearm or whatever, but you're not going to be great when it comes to other things. So it's, slowly we're getting there because of the lovely research and the mental health community and the people who are up there and, you know, doing things. And then we here down here, because to me we're down here, we get to try and create a way to stop stigmatizing everyone. There is no demon that possesses a person. There are people. And there's scale, and then there's a way we can talk about consciousness barriers and memory barriers, which is what 4D doesn't do. So here's where I was going with today's episode as well. They keep talking about people in karmics. You are a person who does karma as long as you have the charges and you are shaming, blaming, faulting, or revenging, envying, being jealous and spiteful in any of those teenager behaviors with people. Okay, so it's very straightforward. If you want to get out of karma and do dharma, it's not a special gift. It's called you moving to integration of the brain and you learning how to be a person who has compersion, healthy self-worth, and you don't, deal with projection in a way of shouting at somebody. You learn how to use your embodied brain. You learn how to move into the green again and again and again and use your tone, not your three-year-old, the grown-up one. And so equanimity, unflappability, and you sit in silence when you're upset so that you can work first with your mood and then you bring forth the conversation to people. Okay, so this is another aspect. So when we do learn how to work with our tone, I got taught by my mom, we learn how to handle people of our oversoul by saying what we think and not having filters. So nobody does something that they regret unless they haven't learned how to choose those words, like I read to you, choosing words wisely. I will thank always my teenage boyfriend. He taught me everything I needed to know about how to handle any future man that would come in my life. And one of the things that was the one only thing in my lifetime that I still, when I look back, I'm like, well, shortly after it, because I knew I couldn't take it back. And then again, I said, no, but I don't regret it because I know I meant it, but I don't also regret it because now I know that I learned what not to do. And then again, I the regret is that I didn't mean it. I was upset. But I did say what I said because of something that he knows is true. So I it's one of those, you can't take it back. So thankfully for me, I'm a learner when I do something that I don't like. And in this case, I didn't like that. And other than that, I'm okay with other decisions with my one friend that I didn't talk to for 5 years. I don't regret that. I did learn from him, however, how I would never, ever, ever do that again because he showed me what buffoons look like. And he's the only buffoon that I ever needed to learn from. And then I kept moving forward. And lo and behold, I always can look back and say, you know what? I spoke the truth. I tried to respect somebody. I did the best I could. I looked for conversation. You know, I'm actually feeling pretty good about myself. I'm going to go lay down tonight and I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And I know I did a pretty good deal as a human being, because I treated somebody with my voice. I didn't shame them, I didn't blame them, I didn't hide from them, I didn't say I'm not sorry if they accused me of some bullshit line. I've been accused of wanting to actually wish harm upon people. This is the mystic. So this one really, really made me sad. When I got told, you obviously don't want me to be in well-being. And that's not the only person, but they're a little bit more, are you happy now? So that one was different, and my friend was pissed. And it wasn't an accusation. It was, I'm pissed because I didn't listen to you, and now I'm being cheated on, and you were right. And it's like, okay, that's the way to go. So I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm not happy for your misery. Of course not. That's not me. I don't do shit like that. That's quite not me or nice or any of it. When you don't have a feeling of let me get back at you, it's because that doesn't work if you know what it means to stay clear in your conscious. Emotions, I forgot. So it's you're not in your survival mode. When people use words with you, it's because you're in your higher social engagement system. That's called healthy self-worth. So if you had a weapon, I would be in my survival mode. If you started to get really, really angry and I started to get afraid that maybe you're going to physically attack me, I'm going to start feeling it. In fact, actually, I learned how to disengage from any human being that ever made me feel that I was going to be physically life-threatened because they got into anger. One of the guys that I dated for a little bit, I was like, no, this guy's not going to... Red flag, red flag. I feel unsafe. I literally feel physically unsafe and not in a way that I want to feel, especially if we're going to be dating. So this is where I need to drop you. And I didn't say it that way because luckily we were just dating. I said, hey, you know what? We had fun. Let's be friends. You know, it's really better this way. And they were happy with that because they were on a roll with their dating life, which is really good for me. And to this day, we're friends. To this day, I love my friend to death, but he is one of the men that I would not ever want to be found. And I know I shouldn't say it because he's a sweetheart, but if they give me a choice, I will take other men. That's just because my friend has never once realized how his actual ability to justify things that he's done is not cool. And he doesn't represent in society any type of harm. He actually is a man of his honor. In fact, he's one of those, if you slap him, you know, like if you insult him, it's like you slapped him with a glove. So he's from the ancient times. He will get reactive. You've just insulted him to the extent of him becoming offline. And he's offline not in a way of actually thinking through anything. And that's the part why I wouldn't want to be around by myself in any, like, island deserted with him. So, you know when you know, because our nervous systems speak to us, and then a person consciously chooses what they do. So if you allow yourself to consistently say this emotional way of being reactive is okay, again, he doesn't use it ever in any violent way. As he gets older, he gets calmer because his testosterone is going down, as any one of us when we age. And so he's going to become, you know, less reactive. But his thought and his mouth and his way of conceptualizing is not actually something supportive of him being more of what he could be. He's a member of society in a good way, but he is a person who justifies these small things when they take place in ways that shows he's not motivated to bring his emotional self-regulation skills in the forefront. He's not the only human being, and he's not the only one as a man. There's women. There are women who have told me of them lifting their hands and actually slapping a human being. That man was flirting with someone else. You actively are choosing, and you don't even know if they're flirting. It's because they were laughing. So when a woman tells me a story like that, I think you're a hypocrite, because we're trying to work with the whole he said, she said. In the meantime, you're saying somebody's flirting and you're going to go slap them and you think that's okay. What are you showing? How are you leading? You're not leading with example. You are standing in the way of the example that can be led. So women and men, if they don't choose to decide to disengage from using their hands and something like that, okay? My friends, I'll never forget some of them, how they've talked about not being able to intervene when a man is, for example, slapping a woman. And that's in different places, but this is in the area of Naples, because women, and there are TikToker women who will talk about, my man needs to slap me around. Because they are from a specific area with a specific educational background, not educational. They have an example. So we need to remember how it's not about imposing. It's about trying to share information. And then in time, long story short, though, my men friends, if they've ever tried, some of them, they've gotten beat up by the women, is what I'm trying to say. That the women attack them as they try to save them. So this is the part of where people from areas, once they will have had one experience, they will think, I'm going to get beat up again. I don't know if what's happening. So, you know, your other alternative is you call the police, but, you know, the police, when are they going to get there? But that is, this is another random example of how people, they like to judge people. Judging isn't what's going to get us anywhere. It's if we choose to be people who know how to stay in our emotional maturity, not use our implicit bias, and to actually not jump to conclusions and a lot more. But let's get back to our oversoul as we end our time together and talk about what I was sharing with the telepathy. It's not something that is obsessive. It's not confusing. it's not destabilizing. No, it's more of like, wow, that's really messed up. And at the same time, it's fucking cool. And it's not only happened with my twin flames. It's also happened with my soulmates or with people with my oversoul. So that's what I wanted to share. Oh, and the other part is that we've zeroed out everything from the plane of yesterday, my lovely listeners. So everything from our 3D plane, all of it. No one that is in the human love narrative. So people who are choosing to heal their inner child, people who are choosing to use their heart, okay? It doesn't mean they're going to therapy. It means they're a member of our lovely human family and they are choosing to be decent and loving and to try and bring forth the future. And they're in the middle, okay? And so people who are open to themselves and they're open, therefore, to humanity are the ones who have completely become aware of this, whether through dream format or not, it doesn't matter. And the people who are still in the in-between deciding, it's a whole different group. And I'm going to leave them to the side because they've been zeroed out as well. So their 3D past lives, all that. However, right now they're getting to make some choices which involve another year of a circle, another cycle year. If they get to notice their self, their maladaptive child stuff, and they take ownership, they're going to lead themselves to become, okay, so I'm leaving that out there because this is not meant to be channeled guidance, but the human suffering group, on the other hand, they too have been zeroed out from that 3D energy because it's all from the earth of yesterday. This is what I really wanted to share. But yeah, this is really cool, by the way. It's cool to know this. And obviously, again, not provable at all. Just the mystic sharing with my mystics. Something that's really awesome. And that I already knew. What I'm trying to get at is no person who's open to their self will have charges that stay because they learn to work with their thought in a way that's self-reflective and says, yeah, I'm imperfect. I'm flawed. Life is hard. Life is this. It's okay. We're going to be okay. It's okay. It'll be okay. You know how to be your safe haven, secure base. So you're processing with love those emotions. It doesn't mean that you feel or use the word love. Well, I'm using the word love. You're using your prefrontal cortex. You're using the ability to process, I should consciously. You're being flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, and stable. So you're saying to yourself, things happen, and I'm going to keep moving forward, and I'm going to keep on growing and doing more with people around me. So your softness grows. And people who are aware of this, they're going to have like some, they will have had a little bit of a shift. And the ones who don't go over here, well, they still, in those future lives, they won't have the 3D energy coming with them. And that might also be something that we'll explore, but it's too soon because luckily for us, we're still, and me, Maria, as Maria, as your host, we're still in the era where we get to talk about spirituality and sciences, but in the future, everything that is within the spirituality plane might be looked at by the hard problem of consciousness plane people, and they know how to explain our clairs, and they know how to explain, you know, the energetic field, and so it would be and will be probably talked about in a bit of a different way, because spirituality stories, they will now become stories, not now, but in the future, when things are explained. Doesn't mean they have the answers. No one has the answers to everything. And actually, here's where I'm going to share with you, and we'll end that future, the future that I talked to you about, my dream, in the spaceship that I am taken hostage with my husband and my children. They are actually conducting experiments. This is what I was becoming aware of in that dream, or did become aware of, and it was immediately in my awareness that what they were doing was to try and make sure they could extend life forever. And this forever, as we know, doesn't really happen, right? That's that part of infinite cycles, but the part about human beings and any one of us who's conscious, really, so secondary consciousness, we're aware of being alive, we're aware that we're going to die, that's called our secondary. And we don't want that. And really, it's about saving and keeping life alive, which to me, a person who loves to live, I totally can understand And the only group that technically, as we know, the spirituality group, what do we know about the sciences? What do we know about the imbalances? We know that sometimes there are ways that they will have gone about things with an imbalance. And so those two, that duality. I mean, I have to end our episode, but what I'm trying to say is weigh with your heart. It's called the right mode of your brain with the left. And those who only use the left, they don't have access to that inner child. Okay, so people who are closed off to their humanity and to subjectively being able to expand consciousness and other things, they are quote unquote cold. And their way of approaching things is more analytical. It's a digital and not with the rainbow. And so that energetic is going to be perceived. Again, though, you will know that it's not something that we need to focus on, because there's a law of the cosmos. There's a law of math. There's a law of, I forget how the physicists call it, but it's like the dark matter, dark energy. So while I can share with you dreams, downloads, okay, when I say dreams, it's the Akashic downloads, past life regressions or future lives. I know it's in my mind's eye, one. And so you don't try to go proving it. That's why the woo-woo pseudoscience lady title is good for me. but it's because of wanting to welcome all people who are into, you know, functional adult love language, people who want the 5D relationship, which is, you know, restorative embodiment person. So it's because of that. And out of respect for the academics, and because I actually don't care that I'm considered woo-woo, because if a person doesn't experience or perceive mysticism and they don't have this stuff, they don't know. But I do know how I understand it. And just because a therapist might call you woo-woo, and I've seen grown women and men be upset, I'm like, dude, this is nothing to be upset about. Don't you know a science person is going to call you woo-woo? You really take you seriously. Like, how much do you know about how academia works and quantitative data? You don't refuse support and help, which is what the people who need these good therapists do. And I heard this from a bunch of different spirituality individuals, because, you know, if you go to the office, they're going to say you're woo-woo. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Doesn't mean you don't go. It doesn't mean you don't go get help for yourself. It means to me, if you're going to choose to keep the quote-unquote clairs, that you're choosing something that is not your well-being. And that's where, as a mystic, I want to share, your mental health is your priority. If you're a person who understands you and Claire's, it's not a special gift. Your brain is important to take care of, your embodied brain. And your emotion and mental plane is important to take care of. And nobody can take away, by the way, your relationship with the sphere, its energy. This is the other part of why it's an inconsistent way of thinking that spiritual bypasses are not helping mystics understand. So there's no reason for any person to actually, like Patrick McNamara says, suffer through nightmares because your fear receptor is doing something wonky. And if you get help, that's only going to be able to help you. And plus, we have updated attachment and trauma information people who are actually a lot more aware of spirituality than you think. And they're not closed-minded. You'll find some that are, but you'll find others that are not. And so it's to be... Let's share with people about the importance of them getting support if needed, and that there are those. I have plenty of contacts. Daniel Siegel is one of them that I would definitely go to if there's anyone who needs anything, because I know he has a huge network. He cares about integration of the brain, and he's always doing something to help people to get into, you know, contact with other people and groups. And there's more than just him. But in the meantime, the Oversoul, it's a really fun deal. Surprise, surprise. There are star babies and earth babies, by the way. I found that one out recently. It's really cool. And it's cool to have more downloads. And so when you get to, you know, meet some of your other lives, it's not something you're attached to, though, because you're using, I use my name. My name's Maria. So you use your human name. And you actually enjoy being a human, FYI. So I kid about the star babies, then again, I'm not right now. So those of you who are star babies, I know you'll know who you are. And yes, I didn't think that there would be only earth babies. I have known about it because I know about those different planets and those different, you know, all that stuff that we will have heard about. But I just hadn't ever met, yeah, But I wouldn't, it's not about meaning. See, I wouldn't have known about Earth babies and Star babies had I not had the Akashic record download that I got. And that's only because of people teasing, because people don't believe. But see, when they tease and then they're open and I'm a part of that thing, and there you go. You get to have fun. Or you sit and you concentrate. That works too. Meditate. Well, you know, you get into the zone. So for that, if you're curious about anything, let me know. If you need specific guidance, let me know. If you want anything related to mentorship for personal development and you're serious, then, you know, hit me an email. And I only take people who want their human well-being, FYI, because, it's not a joke to access any of this beautiful plane, but really it's because it's going to be a waste of your time if you're not taking yourself seriously. And I take you seriously, and I know that, you know, entertainment is fun, but your inner and outer well-being takes priority. So your oversoul, they help you to get here if you're open-hearted, that is, and if you're open-minded, and if you're also grounded in your humanity, so in your body. We'll be back again with more. Have a great one.